Good morning and welcome to Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for tuning in to the program today. We got a great show for you lined up. Before I tell you about it, let's begin, as we do each day, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to another day. Father, grant us the grace that we need to be able to make it through the day. Help us to show your love to everyone we meet today. Help us to remember your presence in every situation. Father, we lift up our families, our friends. We lift up our co-workers, those who we will encounter today. We lift them up. We ask you to bless them. And we ask you to speak through us here at the radio station today. May your message come through our lips this morning. And may we all be open to hearing what you have to say. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you for tuning in again to Spirit in the Morning. I am Gary Zimek, and I said we have a great show, and I mean it. We're going to be joined today by Dr. Alan Schreck, who will continue his discussion on the Holy Spirit. I've been really enjoying Dr. Schreck and his insights, because I think the Holy Spirit gets a raw deal sometimes. We forget about the Holy Spirit, and we sometimes don't understand his role in our lives. So Dr. Schreck's going to enlighten us. We will also be joined by our friend Father Edward Looney. He's the author of a new book. Father's been really doing some writing lately. His new book is called A Heart Like Mary's, 31 Daily Meditations to Help You Live and Love as She Does, from Ave Maria Press. Father will join us a little later in the program. Right now, Dave Parker, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I am wide awake. Frank Eliason.
Good morning.
Wow.
What?
We're all awake, kind of.
Well, you know, it's funny.
It's radio.
It's radio.
It's radio. People don't, you know, we can put on an impression.
Yes, yes.
We are all a little groggy today, to be honest. Yeah. I overslept. Dave had some trouble.
Yeah. I got up too early.
And Frank, same thing, right?
Well, I went to bed late and got up too early.
Wow. So you had both?
Wow. I was not really moving quite this morning, though.
Okay.
Although my wife's like, you're already out the door, like, because I was gone before she got up.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So this is going to be an interesting show. We sound wide awake, but we're struggling a little bit today.
Caffeine.
Caffeine's a beautiful thing. Hey,
amen, brother.
And you know, there's a chill in the air.
Yes. Boy, there sure is.
Which, as soon as you walk outside, it becomes a, whoa, I'm awake now.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, winter is coming.
Yes, it is.
It is. Well, with that in mind, let me do the weather, and then I have an interesting little article that I want to share with you boys. Today, right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 42 degrees under fair skies. 42 degrees? That's unbelievable. It really is. Today, it's going to be sunny with a high near 62. That's nice. Tonight, clear, low around 45. And then Wednesday, sunny with a high near 71.
I know. This is the crazy time of year.
We're doing commentary on weather.
Yeah, now listen to this. Listen to this.
It sounds good.
At the moment in New Hope, it's 37 degrees. In Fort Washington, it's 36 degrees.
Wow.
And in Honeybrook, it's 37 degrees.
Wow.
So in the 40s, I guess that's a relatively good thing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
it is October, and we're under this big dome of high pressure. And you know what? It's
good. The dome of high pressure. Can we just stick to the temperature?
Gosh, it's going to be. We're going to have five days.
Even when he's not awake, he's got these facts.
Thanks for cleaning it up. We're 5 days wall to wall sun, man.
That's really nice.
Yeah, that's the good part.
It is. Quick reminder: Saturday we will be coming to you live with a special edition of Spirit of the Morning, live from the Wine Philadelphia Women's Conference.
The International Women's Conference,
right.
It's awesome.
That's right. Big deal. Teresa Tomeo is going to be in town. Kelly Walquist will be on the show with us on Friday. She is the founder of Wine. So many other great speakers, too. It's going to be a big deal. 1,200 women.
Are we ready?
Of course, we're ready.
We're born ready.
That's right. That's right.
We'll figure it out by the day before, at least.
That's right.
Right answer.
So tune in on Saturday and see.
Three people make a fool of themselves?
Well, no. They can do that
every day.
Yeah. All right, how about this? Now,
Frank's patting himself on the back for that one, and he loves this joke.
I've got some scientific facts here.
Okay.
I don't typically do this. I know.
Oh, he's going cliff on us.
We talked about, Dave, you had some troubles getting to sleep last night.
Yes.
15 science-backed ways to fall asleep faster. Okay. Number one, listen to Spirit in the Morning. Wait a minute. All right. Number one, see if, now tell me what you guys think. Some of these are a little wacky, but number one, try to force yourself to stay awake. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, typically that's the last thing you do when you're trying to fall asleep.
Yeah. I mean, if you're off your sleep cycle and it's like, and you're starting to fade early, they say try and stay up until your normal go to bedtime. Whatever that is for you.
I think if you're restless or if you're the type that struggles to kind of just fall asleep, force yourself to be up, it makes you tired, you know, get more tired, and eventually you're going to fall asleep. I think that may be part of it.
Yeah, that's the theory. So we'll see about that one. The other one is, there's supposedly 15 of these. Get up and do something for 10 minutes. Now, I've always heard to get up and read, get up and watch TV. Then I heard don't do it because you'll be more wide awake. But this says, for 10 minutes, get up and do something for 10 minutes, like a jigsaw puzzle or a coloring book.
Guess what?
So get your brain to settle down.
Guess what?
That's what it sounds like.
I woke up very early, and I did that. I got for like 10 or 15 minutes.
Did you go to sleep from it? Because that's actually, this is for not waking up, but going to sleep. So.
I know. I wanted to go back to sleep.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay, I'm just checking.
You looked like you fell asleep there. I know. Like instantly.
All right, how about this one? Hide your clock. You toss right?
You
stare at the clock.
Yeah.
Hide the clock. Constantly checking the time increases your stress, making it harder to turn down the dial of your nervous system and fall asleep.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the value.
These are
that.
Good. Yeah.
These are good. I think this segment is dying. You guys.
We all have a little problem because, like, you know, the phone is a good example because I wonder if people have the problem I have, which is I do put the phone down, but then all of a sudden something like emails or something pop through and my phone lights up. And it's like just as I'm falling asleep. So, you know. And the problem to it is I no longer use clocks. Yeah. My alarm is my phone. Right. And so I tend not to turn it off. But you know what? Maybe in life we should be turning them off more. Yeah. But that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, it is. My phone is my clock. And also Alexa.
I use Alexa for an alarm.
And so this morning I said, Alexa, what time is it? And she told me the time I didn't want to hear.
Of course, you know there's a bunch of people that have the Amazon Echo that right now it all answered and said, the time is, your current time is.
Hey, that's funny.
Yeah. That's like your PSA commercial, right?
Yes.
For Holy Spirit.
Say, Alexa, play Holy Spirit Radio. And then it starts playing. Yes, I've had that happen.
All right.
How about some of these other ones? Cool your room. A bedroom temperature of 60 to 67 degrees Fahrenheit is recommended.
I sleep great in the cool weather.
Do you?
Yes. In fact, a lot of people, I struggle getting up in cooler weather. You get comfortable under those covers, and who wants to get out of those covers?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Take a warm shower before bed.
I bet you because it makes you feel cooler outside the shower.
Rapid temperature decrease slows your metabolism faster and prepares your body for sleep.
Gist of it is you're feeling cooler out there.
All right, how about this one? Wear socks to bed. I don't know.
I think that's more individualistic. I tend not to wear socks to bed, but my wife does. And so, you know, I think it's just is whatever your preference is. And I would also wonder if it's more about what your body temperature is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very interesting. Now, here's a strange one.
I love this sleep science.
Listen to this one. Immerse your face in very cold water for 30 seconds.
Wow. All right.
Boosh.
It says when you're in a full-on state, your nervous system desperately needs to be reset to help you calm down. Submerging your face in a bowl of cold water triggers an involuntary phenomenon called the mammalian dive reflex. And, Dave, you can tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, maybe later. Okay, I could.
I know you could. That's what
the thing about, though, to me, that's actually how I wake up. Like, if I'm, like, struggling to be awake at something, I may take water and splash it on my face.
Okay,
So I find the opposite effect of that. But you know what? A lot of these things are kind of like a lot of things, you know, like, in life, you know, eggs are bad for you. Oh, eggs are good for you.
Oh, I know.
You know, I think
it depends on which week, right?
It depends on which week. And I think that a lot of these things are, I think it varies. We're all individuals and we're all different. And I think that some of these things will work for some people.
Exactly.
And then others will not even come close to work.
Well, exactly.
Gare and Frank, I was going to say about the, you know, the 30-second immersion in cold water. If we don't do it to ourselves, but we're talking, guess who will do it? Our wives. They'll throw cold water on.
But one of the things that, you know, I would say that's not on the list is Say a prayer.
You know, that was going to be my number one thing, but I forgot that. But that works.
Yeah, say a prayer. Have a conversation with God.
Yeah.
Even if it's, why can't I fall asleep? Yeah,
that's what I was saying. Lord, why?
I know.
What are you doing to me? What are you trying to get me to
figure
out?
Well, exactly. That's a great opportunity
to
pray.
I think we tapped into this is an issue for a lot of people, probably.
It is. Let me just do a couple more of these, because some of these are really crazy. Yeah. Scent your bedroom with lavender. Dave, I know you do that. But picture your favorite place. Listen to music. Eat dinner by candlelight. I don't really understand that one, but it says candlelight. I guess the candlelight helps you carry.
Yeah.
And here's one that I think you should try tonight, Dave. If you can't fall asleep, blow bubbles.
That's really saying, call Gary and say, Gary, I can't sleep. I can't sleep.
I'm lost for blow bubbles.
It says got grandkids, and I guess this article comes from grandparents.com.
Okay.
That means you probably have a plastic bottle of bubbles around the house. The benefits of blowing them before bed are twofold. Bubbles are slightly hypnotic to look at and require a process of deep breathing to blow.
I think I see a whole bunch of people just going around popping little bubbles.
I know.
Okay, I can't go with that.
We had both grandkids yesterday, and guess what? Out on the back porch, one of them spilled the bubbles.
Ah.
And I said, Barb, you want a napkin or paper towel to clean it up? She goes, no, they're taking it,
I thought you were about to say you were blowing bubbles and you fell asleep.
Yep.
No, but we have bubbles.
There you go. So
try it
tonight. All right, now let me read the gospel before we run out of time.
Hurry,
today's
brother.
Gospel comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 41. After Jesus has spoken, a Pharisee invited him to dine at his home. He entered and reclined at table to eat. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not observe the prescribed washing before the meal. The Lord said to him, O you Pharisees, although you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, inside you are filled with plunder and evil, you fools. Did not the maker of the outside also make the inside? But as to what is within, give alms, and behold, everything will be cleaned for you. This is a really clear message from Jesus. We just can't go through the external motions.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what he's saying.
Exactly.
It's okay. You practice devotions, do the externals, but make sure internally you're in the right place
as well.
Yeah,
they comport with the exterior.
That's the whole point. All right.
All right.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Alan Schreck, and we'll be talking about the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 17th. Today we celebrate Saint Ignatius of Antioch. Born in Syria just a few years after Jesus' death, Ignatius was a convert to Christianity who eventually became Bishop of Antioch. On a long journey from Antioch to Rome, Ignatius wrote the seven letters for which he has become well known. Five of them are directed to churches in Asia Minor. Ignatius urges his fellow Christians to remain faithful to God and to obey their superiors. He also warns them against heresies and emphasizes the solid truths of Christian faith. The sixth is directed to Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna, who was later martyred. On a visit to Antioch, Emperor Trajan forced the Christians there to choose between death and denying their faith. Ignatius refused to deny Christ and was condemned to be put to death in Rome. In his final letter, Ignatius begs the Christians in Rome not to try to stop his martyrdom. The only thing I ask of you, he wrote, is to allow me to offer the libation of my blood to God. His request granted, Ignatius bravely met the lions in the Circus Maximus around the year 107. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
Tipping our coffee mugs in a salute to a God-centered day, you're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
my joy, you are my song, you are the well, the one I'm drawing from, you are my refuge, my whole life long, where else would I go? Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. Yeah. Day after day, night after night, I will remember you're with me in this fight. Although the battle, it rages on, the war is already won. I know the war is already won. Surely my God is the strength of my soul.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek. I want to thank you for joining us today. The time at the moment is 7:18. Every 2 weeks, we are joined on the program by our friend Dr. Alan Schreck. He is a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and we've been discussing his book, Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic Needs to Know and Experience. We're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Schreck this morning. Dr. Schreck, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. I'm doing well. Thank you.
You're in Florida this morning, I understand?
Yes, I'm giving a workshop in Clearwater, Florida, some people studying spiritual direction for the Catholic Church.
Nice. Well, Dr. Schreck, we've been discussing your book, Your Life in the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, has been I've been very much enjoying these discussions. I think the Holy Spirit, he's much misunderstood, and I think we can all stand to hear a little bit more about him. But today I wanted to take a little departure, if we could. You are, at your workshop, one of the things you are discussing are the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I thought maybe today would be a good idea to talk a little bit about, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and how they differ.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm talking about this week.
Perfect.
The first of all, in the Catholic tradition, first of all, we might distinguish between the works of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives. Some lead to sanctification just for ourselves to make us holy.
Okay.
Other gifts of the Spirit are given to us to build up the body of Christ, the church.
Hmm.
And when a Catholic hears gifts of the Holy Spirit, we automatically think of something. Catholic might not know where it's from in the Bible, but it's Isaiah 11, 1 and 2,
right,
where the prophet Isaiah talks about the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, meaning the Messiah. And it's a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, of counsel, of strength, or fortitude, a spirit of knowledge and a fear of the Lord,
mm-hmm,
and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Actually, that's a translation that in the Septuagint and the Vulgate, the last fear of the Lord, the first fear of the Lord was translated piety. So if you counted up, it's the seven gifts of the Spirit. And in Catholic teaching, we've already always associated that with the gifts that the Messiah had, but now they're gifts that are shared with us as his messianic children, his people, that we share in these wonderful gifts of the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord.
Right.
And an interesting thing I just found in my study was originally these were seen more like charisms. These were gifts that the Messiah would have for the people, to lead the people, like when Solomon prayed for the gift of wisdom and understanding, mm-hmm, to lead the people. So these were actually originally sort of more of the charismatic category, but now we Catholics sort of look at them as actually gifts that are given for us just to bring us closer to God, to help us to be sanctified. And that's fine, you know, as we reflect on the Scripture, we have new insights. And so that's one of the categories of the gifts of the Spirit. The other is that St. Paul lists gifts of the Spirit, and especially he explains it in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14.
Mm-hmm.
But there he lists a whole set of gifts that are really the charismatic variety. In fact, in Catholic theology, we call these the charisms. They are gifts of the Spirit. They're the same word, the word in Greek is charismata, or gifts. And anyway, those gifts are explicit, especially for the building up of the body of Christ. That's the context Paul is teaching about the body of Christ, an analogy that he developed. And so we're giving gifts for each other in the body of Christ. And they're prophecy, teaching, healing, a whole wide apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, healer, administrator, servant. You know, there are all sorts of gifts. Some of them are more like word gifts to build up each other through the Word of God, mm-hmm, proclaimed like a prophet. Others are gifts that are more directly for service, like healing, or even the gift of service and administration. You even see that can be a charism, a gift of the Spirit. So anyway, these are what we mean by gifts of the Spirit, and some are more for ourselves, for our sanctification. Some are more for the building up of the body of Christ. And they're all wonderful things that the Spirit provides so that we can grow closer to God and serve his people, the church.
Let's talk about these a little more, if we could, because you bring up a really interesting point. Having been involved with the charismatic movement in the past, I get the idea of charisms. And by the way, at some point, we're going to shift gears with our segments and talk more about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Movement, because I think that's a huge topic and one that you're very well versed in. But these charisms, if you will, you know, Dr. Schreck, as a baptized Catholic, I receive, and somebody who's received confirmation, I have all of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. But do I have all of those other charisms? Do I have them?
Good question.
Right, or do some people have different ones?
Well, that's the answer is we have different ones. This comes from St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 12:7, where St. Paul says, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit or a gift of the Spirit, mm-hmm, for the common good. And then he says, some are apostles, some are prophets, some are pastors, some are teachers.
Right.
And then he goes on, are all prophets, are all pastors? He makes it very clear that these are, St. Thomas Aquinas called them gratia gravis date, grace is freely given according as God's will. So this is what makes the church beautiful. We don't all have the same charisms.
Interesting.
And that's why we, in the body of Christ, we depend on each other, because not all are prophets, as Paul said, not all are teachers, not all speak in tongues, but some do.
Yeah.
So the gifts the gifts are given to each so that we depend on each other and we realize we're all members of the one body, but we all have different gifts, different charisms. Mm. By the way, I might say in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, there are three sections that explain charisms. If any Catholics are wondering, are these things really Catholic?
Right.
You could look in the Catechism from 799, numbers 799 to 801. It's all there. In fact, John Paul II said, in 1998, he said at the Vatican Council, the Church rediscovered her charismatic dimension because all these things were taught in the Second Vatican Council.
That's powerful, and I think that's a concept, this idea of the charisms that we really should explore as Catholics. And we don't have a lot of time. I only have about 3 minutes left in this segment, Dr. Schreck, but how do I know if I have the charism of healing or of prophecy or of praying in tongues? How do I know that?
A good question. Praying in tongues is a little different because it's sort of either there or it isn't.
Okay.
But let's talk about those gifts that are really for service. Paul conceives all these gifts in the context of the community, the church, the body of Christ. And to tell whether you have a gift is, first you have to step out in faith and exercise it. Let's say, I don't know if I have a gift of healing. Well, let me pray for others. And it seems if God answers your prayers regularly, well, maybe, or even once, you know, it doesn't have to be a regular thing.
Okay.
The charism can be given as God wills. So you have to try it. Let's say you think you have a word, let's say, about the church that you think might be somewhat prophetic. Well, bring it to your pastor, bring it to your fellow Christians and say, you know, I think God's speaking this. I don't think it's just for me. What do you think? And of course, that's another gift of discernment, and especially our pastors to discern and to test. So all of these gifts are in the context of the church. And so the only way you can find out if you have a gift is to try to use it and then trust in your brothers and sisters in the church and your pastors to either affirm that or to direct that. Maybe needs a little purification. It isn't all the gifts come out perfectly the first time.
Right.
So you've got to step out in faith.
Wow. Excellent, excellent stuff, Dr. Schreck. Thank you for joining us. I'm really glad we took this little departure from the book, but I highly recommend the book for anybody listening. If you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit, the book is Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic Needs to Know and Experience by Dr. Alan Schreck from the Word Among Us Press. I'll put a link to where you can purchase the book on spiritinthemorning.com. Dr. Schreck, thank you again, and have a wonderful conference, and look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Gary. I guess we'll get to the fruit of the Spirit another day.
You know, that's right. Hey, it's the Holy Spirit. I always talk on the way to the studio. I always say, Holy Spirit, you lead me today. And I think he took us in a different direction today.
That's right. Well, this was the main thing, and it's such a rich topic. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Safe travels, Dr. Schreck. Talk to you next time. It was Dr. Alan Schreck. Dave, that's interesting stuff.
I love this segment.
Yeah, I mean, he is really knowledgeable about the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. There's a charism for Catholic morning radio show hosts, isn't there?
Do you have that?
No, you have that. Frank has.
When we come back, Father Edward Looney, A Heart Like Mary. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The death toll from the most powerful bomb blast witnessed in Somalia's capital has risen to 300, with at least 300 injured. The director of an ambulance service in Mogadishu says 15 primary school children are among those killed in the blast. The children were on a school bus and died when the massive truck bomb detonated nearby. As of right now, no one has claimed responsibility for Saturday's attack. Iraq's Interior Ministry says federal forces have captured a power plant and a police station south of Kirkuk after what Kurdish officials described as a major assault aimed at driving Kurdish forces from the disputed city. Today's brief statement from the Interior Ministry on, quote, Operation Imposed Security on Kirkuk provided no details on the fighting or casualties, saying only that federal forces had taken control of industrial areas near the city. And Pope Francis is demanding world governments collectively work to end rising world hunger by working to end the conflicts and climate change-related disasters that force people to leave their homes in search of their daily bread. The Holy Father drew a standing ovation today at the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, where he marked the UN's World Food Day by calling for governments to work together to tackle the interconnected problems of hunger, global warming, and migration. He cited the Paris Climate Accord, in which governments committed to capping heat-trapping emissions, as an example of taking action to combat global warming based on scientific evidence. But he also lamented that, quote, unfortunately, some are distancing themselves from it, end quote. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Join us at the Miraculous Medal Shrine for our second annual Spanish Family Celebration in honor of the Feast of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, November 7th at 6 p.m. Vincentian Bishop Alfonso Cabezas will celebrate Mass. Our celebration will include the rosary, novena prayers, a procession, and the anointing of the sick. We are collecting personal care items for the people of Mexico and Puerto Rico. Please visit miraculousmedal.org or Mary's Miraculous Medal Family Facebook page for details. We are located at 500 East Charlton Avenue, Philadelphia.
Ven a celebrar el Día de la Medalla Milagrosa el próximo 7 de noviembre a las 6 de la tarde. Invitado Obispo Alfonso Cabezas. Procesión y rosario, misa, imposición de medallas y consagración. Bendición para los enfermos. Trae tu donación de productos de aseo, hogar y artículos para bebés para México y Puerto Rico. Información mariamedallamilagrosa.org, Facebook Familia de la Medalla Milagrosa de María. Estamos en la 500 Este Shelton Avenue, Filadelfia.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit, spirit, spirit in the morning. With Gary Zimmer.
Yeah.
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was Steal My Show by Toby Mac. My name is Gary Zimek. Thank you for being a part of the program today. We're going to be joined now by Father Edward Looney. He's a regular guest on the show. He's a Marian theologian, Catholic author and speaker, and he serves as a priest in the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin. His latest book is called A Heart Like Mary's, 31 Daily Meditations to Help You Live and Love as She Does. Father Looney, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. It's always a joy to be with you.
I love it when you come on the show, Father. You are churning out the material, books, articles. I mean, you're a very prolific writer.
That's what they tell me.
I'm so glad. A Heart Like Mary's, 31 Daily Meditations to Help You Live and Love as She Does. Father, what was the inspiration? Why did you decide to write this book?
Sure. Yeah, you know, the decision to write A Heart Like Mary's really came because it was something that I had been thinking about and praying about for a long time, mm-hmm. for, you know, about a few years. When I was in the seminary one day, my spiritual director, who happened to be a Mariologist, and here I was, this Marian, you know, lover of the Blessed Mother, yeah. aspiring Marian theologian, whatever, and I was in his office and, you know, with some other people and happened to just be complaining about life and others or whatever, mm-hmm. and he said to me, you know, Edward, you love the Blessed Mother so much, but where's your Marian heart? And I'm sure that this priest has no recollection that he said that, but that was something that stuck with me. And really, I began to pray about that. Every day when I would pray for an hour before the Blessed Sacrament, I'd always end by saying, you know, what does it mean to live with a Marian heart? And mm-hmm. really, through the Rosary, through Lectio Divina, through many different prayer methods, really just thinking and praying about that question. And ultimately, what happened was every day I started to pray, well, you know, Mary, give me a heart like yours, a heart that was patient, a heart that was generous, a heart that prayed for others. So really, attributes that I identified in her heart, then I wanted to have those. And ultimately, the goal was for me to have a heart like Mary's because she loved Jesus so much as his mother, mm-hmm. that I wanted to love Jesus with the same love.
I like the way you break it down in the book. You have this broken down into 31 daily reflections. And, for example, just to give our listeners an idea of what you do, day one, a heart patiently waiting. You have a scripture reflection. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And then you reflect on Mary's heart patiently waiting. Could you share a few thoughts on that, Father?
Sure. So in the reflection there, I talk about Mary patiently waiting with all of the people of Israel. So everyone, wow. you know, from the Old Testament onward is waiting for this promised Messiah that's going to redeem them, that's going to save them. And so there Mary is. She's patiently waiting with everyone else for this. And oftentimes these depictions of the Annunciation portray her in prayer, you know, reading from the scriptures.
Right.
And so she's meditating on the Hebrew scriptures, perhaps, as they portray it. And maybe in those moments she's reading about these prophecies that the prophets make about the coming Messiah. And then all of a sudden the angel Gabriel comes to her and announces really that she has to wait no longer, that God is going to fulfill this promise through her. And so then there's a patience that happens because now for 9 months she carries the Christ child in her womb. And really, I think they're a model of patience in many regards. And actually, I just wrote a piece that's going to come out in Advent, kind of talking about the patience of Mary, in which I developed that reflection a little more even. And then we look at that patience of Mary and then say, well, where is it in my life that
wow.
I need patience?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll tell you, sometimes when I'm on the highway and I'm behind some car that's driving 60 in a 70-mile-an-hour
yep.
zone,
yep.
is, you know, that's when I need patience.
So
or
true.
When I'm in a line for my daily coffee or whatever, that's when I need patience. So that's just something that I realize now. And I say, well, give me a heart like Mary's, a heart that patiently waits. And so in that moment, to be able to offer whatever impatience that I have and to grow in that virtue.
Wow, that is a great reflection. And you do that for 21 days. You examine various attributes of Mary's heart, a chaste heart, a heart seeking clarity, a heart that says yes. You do that for 21 days, and then in the 22nd day of the 31-day cycle, you begin a look at the desires of Mary's heart. And Father, what's that all about, the desires of Mary's heart as opposed to the attributes of her heart?
Sure. So all the attributes are firmly rooted in Scripture. That, you know, okay. Looking at the Scriptures, what is the basis that Mary had this disposition? But the desires of Mary's heart, now there's one of them for sure that I know is scriptural, a heart desiring obedience, mm-hmm. Using the wedding feast of Cana. But for the other ones, really looking at some of the many approved private revelations in the Church. You know, we just celebrated the Feast of Fatima on, the miracle of the sun, the 100 years. And really, in Fatima, there are a lot of different desires that Mary expresses of her heart. You know, a heart that desires peace, a heart that desires consecration, a heart desiring reparation. But then there are other apparitions, too, like there's one in Bahrain in Belgium, in which the children ask the Blessed Mother, well, why are you appearing to us? Mm-hmm. And Mary said, I have come here so that others might come on pilgrimage. So I take from that, well, Mary desires for us to go on pilgrimage, to visit holy sites. And really then just turning to those apparitions and seeing the desire of Mary for her children and then wanting to take on that disposition ourselves. So not only to have her attributes, but also to have her desires as well.
Father, was the book written for somebody who has a devotion to the Blessed Mother, or maybe for somebody who is trying to grow closer to the Blessed Mother, or both?
I would say it was written really for both.
Okay.
From what I've heard is that it's a very good introduction to Mary. So I think a lot of times books about the Blessed Mother will often assume the reader has some sort of knowledge or devotion
right.
or something like that. Whereas this is kind of basic, like we're looking at who Mary is and delving deeper into the biblical Mary and then even the Mary of apparitions. And I think really it presents Mary in a very personal way, a relatable way, so that then a person could jump into another text on Mary, like 33 Days to Morning Glory by Michael Gately or
right.
something like that. So I think it's a very good introduction. But I also think, too, it's, you know, for the person who maybe has a strong Marian devotion, maybe they need a little refresher,
mm-hmm.
or maybe, you know, it's just devotion and they've never thought about living like Mary lived, and so maybe it presents a different perspective for them.
What I like about the book is it's 142 pages. It's not a long book, but there's a lot of substance in it. And I think it's one that is very easy to implement. The way you have these daily reflections broken down into maybe 3 pages, that's very doable, Father, isn't it?
Yes. So the idea is maybe it becomes a book you read during your morning coffee. That
yeah.
It's a morning devotional. And then you try to live whatever you read, because there's a daily action item of how we can try to live with a Marian heart. And so maybe you try to do that during the day. So really, a morning devotional. So some of the people
like
that had advanced copies, that's precisely what they did. And some of them were mothers, and you know they were able to read it and have time to go through it then.
Yeah, and what I like about it is I personally have a tendency to speed read through books. And I like the idea of just meditating on a scripture passage, and then you give us some thoughts, some reflections about it, and then, like you said, to go out and live that during the day. I think that's very helpful.
Yes.
So the book is A Heart Like Mary's, 31 Daily Meditations to Help You Live and Love as She Does, from Ave Maria Press by Father Edward Looney. Father, we will have a link on spiritinthemorning.com so our listeners can pick up a copy of the book. And I want to thank you again for joining us. It's always a joy to have you, Father. I so much enjoy your visits to us on Spirit of the Morning. Before you leave, would you leave us with your blessing?
Sure. So we ask that through the intercession of Mary, that all who call upon the name of Jesus might come to love him all the more, just like Mary did in her life. So we ask God's blessing to come upon each one of them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 Father, thank you so much. Before you go, is there a particular website that our listeners can go to find out more about you and the work that you're doing?
Sure. They could just visit edwardlune.com, and okay, that'll direct them to, you know, some of the different pieces I've written, and it has links to the books where you can buy them on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever. So that's probably the best resource.
Awesome. Father, thanks for being available. Every time I call on you, you're always ready and able to come on the show, and I'm really grateful for that.
Well, my pleasure.
All right. Have a great day, my friend. God bless
you. Thank you.
All right. That was Father Edward Looney. Dave, he always has such good insights.
I know.
And he's busy. I mean, he's writing all kinds of articles, all kinds of books.
As you say, he's very prolific.
He is. And, yeah. But he's always willing to come on the show to talk about the Blessed Mother. This is it's a small book, but it's got a lot of substance in it. Really good. A Heart Like Mary's, 31 Daily Meditations to Help You Live and Love as She Does.
What struck me was when he wants to have a heart. He loves our Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
And he wants to have it so, as much as she did for her son Jesus.
That's right.
It's beautiful.
I mean, think about
that. So should we all.
Yeah, yeah. And this book is a good start to help you have a heart like the Blessed Mother's. When we come back, we're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Grab a cup of coffee. Stay tuned. We're coming back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. On Boston.com, writer Eric Levinson explained the basic facts behind Yom Kippur to those unfamiliar with them. It's a solemn occasion that comes 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. On Yom Kippur, writes Eric, you don't drink or eat anything for a whole day. You're encouraged to reflect on your faults, apologize to people you've wronged, and think about all the things you said you would do but failed to do over the past year. Eric adds, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement as it's sometimes called, isn't supposed to be a fun holiday. It's meant to be meaningful and a way to think about how to be a better person for the coming year. There is, however, a big feast at the end of the fast. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
Getting your daily dose of vitamin Z. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains. Despair holds me fast. help comes from you.
You're right.
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning, that's Shoulders for King and Country. I'm Gary Zimek, and now it is time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge, of whom should I be afraid? Spend a little time trying to think of the answers to those questions today. If the Lord is your light and your salvation, Dave Parker.
Yes.
Whom should I fear?
No one.
Right? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid?
Exactly.
I mean, the answers are obvious. If the Lord's got my back, if the Lord is my light, he is my salvation, it's through Jesus Christ that I am able to one day live in heaven. And as long as I stick with him and I walk with the Lord and obey him and follow him, I'll make it to heaven.
Absolutely.
If that's the case, why should I be afraid, and whom should I fear? Obviously, we know the answer. No need for fear. We shouldn't fear anybody, even the devil. I mean, we should take the devil seriously, but he can't make us do anything. All he can do is tempt us. But the key is to stay with the Lord. If that's the case, then I'm going to be okay. But it is so, so easy to forget that.
Absolutely.
Right? As we get bombarded with problems.
Yeah, day in, day out. And it made me think of the saints. Okay, many of the saints, I mean, their struggles. I mean, and they had these, the dryness in the desert for years and whatever. And basically, you know, they always came back. Trust in the Lord. Whom should I fear?
It's that focus on the Lord. I mean,
that's what we have to have, that almost like laser focus. And when we're in trouble, spiritual trouble, whatever trouble, psychological, we always have to come and focus on him and believe. Just know that he's there.
Know that he's there, yeah.
Accept it.
Yeah.
And it's so hard sometimes.
It is. But I think it begins with a habit of prayer. We've got to make that time for prayer. We've got to force ourselves to pray even when we don't want to.
Exactly.
And as you do that, and I know I was half asleep this morning. I jumped out of bed. I overslept this morning. And I literally was, I knew I, typically when I drive up to the studio, I'm praying the whole time. And I just kept saying, Lord, you know, I don't have it today. I just wasn't able to focus. I prayed my rosary, which is one of the great things about formal prayers such as the rosary.
Exactly.
Because when you don't, when your mind is not working, when you can't come up with the words, these words are great.
Yeah.
Meditating on the mysteries, so...
Precisely, it gets us focused. I mean, we as we said at the outset, all of us were kind of groggy today. But to your point, I was praying the rosary as well. Go to what we know and take it from there and continue the prayer.
Good stuff. And by the way, the guest today, Father Edward Looney, talking about his book, A Heart Like Mary's, and Dr. Alan Schreck, Your Life in the Holy Spirit. Good stuff.
Very good stuff.
So much from the guests on this program.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I mean. Say no. I mean, I just keep listening, folks, and I love. I mean, I'm getting repetitious, but Dr. Schreck and and Frank is looking, but and also Father Looney. I mean, I love the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
I love everything.
Yep.
That's know? Every day and every guest. I mean, you know, people add stuff to our lives all the time. And sometimes it's guests that when I don't expect it, I get like, whoa.
I know.
Exactly.
You know, actually, the first time I think we had Father Looney on, I was looking forward to it, and I was even still blown away.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. So we're blessed to have these great guests. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by Michael Carney, who is the director of the new film from Paramount, Same Kind of Different as Me.
I think that's so cool that you have a director coming on.
I know, I do too. I do too. I mean, it just came about, and I can't wait to talk to him about this movie. This movie's getting a lot of publicity. And, you know, we hear a lot about, oh, the movies are so terrible. And, yeah, there's a lot of junky movies out there. So when a good movie, a good wholesome movie comes out, and this movie was endorsed by our Archbishop.
Mm-hmm.
Archbishop Chaput has endorsed this movie. We got to go take advantage of this, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I just want to see you get the stars on.
Yeah, that's going to be tough since we're on at 7 a.m. Eastern time and they're on the West Coast. And you know what? That is a problem.
Well, who are they?
Renee Zellweger and Greg Kinnear are the stars of this movie. It's hard to get
we
them.
We talked about that yesterday.
But it's hard to get them early in the morning. But you never know. Also, Father,
nothing's impossible
Father
for the Holy
Thomas
Spirit.
Daly will be here as well to talk about his book, Live Today Well, all about the spirituality of St. Francis de Sales. Really good stuff. And Father Daly is, of course, now down at the seminary, St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. And later in the week, Bobby Schindler will be here. And on Friday, Kelly Walquist, who is the founder of WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, will be in studio. I promised Kelly we're going to have some coffee and donuts, so I have to make sure I come through. She's going to be talking about the Women in the New Evangelization. Their national conference takes place on this Saturday at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. The theme is Drawn by Love, Sent on Fire.
Beautiful.
So Kelly's going to be here to talk about that. And, of course, we are going to be broadcasting live.
Yeah, I think we just figured out our timing, so we'll be on at 7 a.m. if all works out.
Okay.
You know, we have to make sure we can get in that early and set up. But we'll be on at 7 a.m. on Saturday to start the WINE event.
All right, that's my music. I got to get out of here. I think it's time. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Just
thanks
make sure
listening.
You turn around and say hi. God bless. See you next time.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating